You are not going to want to miss today's show as we talk about gadgets. Every geek loves a gadget. We're talking about 7 best gadgets for ministry. All that and listener feedback, plenty of that as well, coming up next on the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast, episode 247A for August 1st, 2012. And a little giggle in the background was my co-hosting partner from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, Sally. How are you?
Good morning, Martin. I'm doing well. Up bright and early this morning on August 1st to record a podcast.
Yes. Yeah, we're not doing it a day ahead of time. We had that intention. In fact, we gave it the old college try. But the reason this is episode 247A is we'd already did this podcast once, didn't we?
Yep, deja vu all over again.
Yeah, so. We had some technical difficulties. We should probably share with the class our experiment. We are using a new technology. Actually, it's not super new. It's new to us, and that's Google Hangouts. We're actually using their on-air functionality, which allows you to have a Google Hangout, which is a video and audio conference just between the two of us. And you press a little start broadcast button, and it goes out live on the Internet. So when we officially launch this thing, provided we don't have to record this again, because that might be the kiss of death for Google Hangouts, people will be able to watch live and or then watch a video podcast, which will kind of gussy up a little bit and then upload to both YouTube and to Vimeo, which is the supporting platform for our stream site. So this is 247A, and they always say the second time is better. So we hope that we've worked out all the kinks. Probably it'll go faster because we can pitch all the chit-chat that we had yesterday. We'll be very focused.
Oh, great. And today we're going to be focusing on our 7 best list for the month of August. We've been kicking off each month in 2012 with a 7 best countdown. And this month we're counting down the 7 best ministry gadgets. So all those bright, shiny things that we enjoy that help us to do our jobs well.
Every good geek loves a gadget.
I think I'm a good geek then.
And we had a ton, probably more so than any other 7 best show we've ever done, of feedback as far as what should go on the list. But you know, with all the feedback we had, there were some big general categories that we maybe kind of knew were out there, but it was at least surprising to me that the number of people that that made some of these picks, and that was great. We love the audience participation, and I think we've got a great list as a result. So should we jump right in, Sally?
I think we should. And starting our countdown is our friend Ryan Rosenthal from Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and his submission of the NeoFlex by Ergotron monitor stand. Seems like kind of an odd start, but our category here is anything free.
That's right.
And for those of you that are longtime Wells Tech listeners, you'll know that Ryan has a knack for winning free things. He's won several of our contests, actually. And this was a gadget that he won, and he uses it as a spot for his laptop to dock it next to his traditional monitor and do some dual monitor work. And so, excellent gadget, Ryan, but we love free things. As geeks, we are super willing to invest in any technology that comes to our hands for free.
That's right. And there is a lot of free stuff, and the whole Web 2.0 world you could maybe call a gadget, and a lot of that stuff is free. But sometimes you get what you pay for, but sometimes not. So Ryan has been a winner of some of our contests in the past, so he's very accustomed to free stuff.
And I know here at our school, we got a flip camera for free, just out of the blue from the My Cokes Rewards program. So, you know, you just never know what might be coming your direction.
Right. Absolutely. All right, so that's number seven. Number six is one of my favorites, and that's the trusty old scanner, the input device that takes our analog world and puts it into our digital world. I use my scanner almost every day because I do get a lot of paper, and I don't like paper. My filing cabinets used to be huge, and I used to store everything, and now I've got one drawer of papers that I don't really want to take the time to scan. I could, and that could I could be down to none because I really do try to be paperless, and that's for a couple reasons. One, not just space, but two, searchability, the ability to get those documents back. So the scanner I use, and I've talked about this in the past, is from Fujitsu, ScanSnap S510, which they don't make anymore, but Fujitsu still is in the scanner business. When you're looking for a scanner, I'm always looking for something that's obviously fast, but will do duplex and will take multi pages at the same time. My scanner takes, I think, up to 15, and then scans it to a PDF, a searchable PDF. So that's the best of all worlds for me. But maybe this category could be a little bit broader, any kind of input device that takes our analog world and pushes it into the digital world. It could be a camera, a video camera, a still photo camera, a digital audio recorder, all those things. I think are great gadgets, and every geek probably has at least one or two of those.
Yeah, from my perspective, we actually went with a kind of a mega-sized HP printer recently here on the home front, mm-hmm. and my printer has the scanner and copier capabilities built in. And I'm a little different than you, Martin, imagine that I enjoy scanning images or pictures, mm-hmm. photos, and doing different photo projects and things like that. And so not just going to PDF, but saving to right. JPEG or whatever image format. And my scanner will do all that for me as well. So it has definitely become an indispensable device for me getting the job done around here.
I've gone through a couple of stages in my life where I've attempted to scan all my photos. And I've got a huge drawer full of mm-hmm. photos of the kids, especially from their early years. And that's just so tedious. I'm about that close to using one of those services, because you can, there's a couple services. One, I think, the one that I'm most interested in, I forget the name of it, for about $200, you can fill up, a box, whatever you can fit in their box that they give you, and I think it's about the size of two shoe boxes put together, so whatever you can cram in that box, they'll scan, put on a disc, and send it back to you. So they get to do all the work, and I get to reap the rewards of a digital photo library. I'm a little nervous about sending my single photos over there, but that may be in my future.
So. Maybe you can scan them first before you send them.
Yeah. If I only – yes, okay. Exactly right. What's number five, Sal? You ought to do this one.
Number five on our list is our favorite tech support buddy. You got to have a great gadget that you can call on in person, and that would be a tech support buddy. The reason I get the honors is because it was my mom who submitted this idea when I asked the question about the favorite ministry gadget. She said she claimed her daughter, her most useful tech gadget, and thanks, Mom, for that vote of confidence. But I think, Martin, we could say that that's how us geeks get by, is having people to ask questions of, and that makes a big difference.
Even us geeks don't know all the technology answers, so there's always somebody smarter than us that we need to lean on. And sometimes I lean on you, sometimes you lean on me, and there's other people in our lives that you lean on Kevin, I'm sure, for different things. And I lean on my son for Apple stuff, so there's mm-hmm. there's always somebody. So your favorite tech support buddy, stay close to them, and that they come in at number five. Yeah. Number four is something that I use and you use, Sally, and that's becoming more and more popular, and that's the mobile Wi-Fi hotspots that are available, or air cards some people have. So that's a little device that you can plug into your computer or turn on and acts as a mobile Wi-Fi network for you that allows you to have access wherever you go or wherever there's 3G or 4G access. And this enables all kinds of mobile computing. I know I've got a tablet right now that's only Wi-Fi. So if I want to get access to the internet with my tablet, I need to have a hotspot, which I do. And there's great news on that front. I don't know if you saw this, Sally, but Verizon just lost a lawsuit with the FCC that is forcing them to allow tethering for free through their mobile devices. So they don't they can no longer, my understanding is they can no longer charge for a hotspot. So you can just load up a free app and make Wi-Fi available via your phone. So that is number four, mobile Wi-Fi. You use one of those.
Yep, we have a hotspot, and what I really like about it is that five devices can be connected at one time. So we're cruising down the highway, and all of us have our devices connected and are able to surf
the driver.
The web. No, driver's excluded. Although his device probably automatically connects because it figures it out. But it's opened up things for us.
They're super easy
traveling.
To use. Yeah, they're super easy to use and very convenient. I use it a lot for meetings, and especially in locations where if I'm doing something at a school, I do a lot of presentations, and sometimes I'm in like one of our early high schools, and I'm never quite sure what kind of access I'm going to get. If I do get on the internet, I don't know what kind of content filters they have, and I do a lot of social media kinds of things, so I can't get to YouTube or Facebook through the network. So that's where these things come in real handy too. So what's number three, Sally?
Number three is a biggie. We're getting down to our top of the list, mm-hmm. and number three is tablet computers. You can't have a conversation these days without talking about the capabilities of tablet computers. And we heard from many, many listeners across the board, iPads, Kindles, Androids, Nexus, Asus Transformers. We've got them all represented, and people are doing some amazing ministry things with them. Some people have bright, shiny new tablets that they like to show off, but one person in particular that wrote to us was Pastor Guy Marquardt out in Lodi, California, who has a blog we'll link to called iPads in Ministry, and it specifically is helping pastors justify their purchase of an iPad for ministry. So, you know, all the different uses, I think probably one of the primary ones is just being able to stay connected to your congregation in a mobile kind of way. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously a bigger footprint than just a smartphone, so you can do surfing and all different kinds of apps that relate to ministry as well. Certainly,
you can even
do the Bible.
Backup audio recording, can't you?
Well, we hope we can do backup audio recording. So we don't have a 247B, but yeah.
Right.
That's what my iPad's doubling as this morning, an audio-video device.
So. We'll see how that goes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really enjoy tablets. It's just, whether it's an iPad or my Nexus 7, just a real convenient lean-back experience. So if I'm just doing some general research or emailing or surfing, whatever, I don't have to open up the whole laptop, put that on my lap, listen to music. Again, Bible reading, I use YouVersion every morning. It reminds me I've got some reading, and I can play it back for with a narrated version, just to great little device, and they're coming down in price. So we're hearing about maybe an iPad mini, something that's going to be in that 7-inch dimension, which I'm sure will sell well as well.
You know, I traveled this spring, and I didn't even take a laptop along.
Yeah.
I just took my portable keyboard for my iPad. So it's really becoming my go-to device for sure.
Yep, I've been looking at those. And you use like a Logitech, right?
I do. It's not a docking thing. It's a portable Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with its own little case, which turns into a stand, which I use quite a bit as well. So
really? And you like it?
I'm enjoying it. Yep.
And how is it powered?
It has four AAA batteries.
Okay.
I just replaced them. So, yeah.
Okay. So they last a pretty decent time.
They do, yeah.
Okay. Very good. So number two is kind of a no-brainer, at least as far as I'm concerned. And we had a lot of people, and maybe I wasn't thinking of this as a gadget when we first started this the seven best topic, and that's the computer, or probably more specifically the notebook or laptop computer. And a number of people said, hey, this is my digital life. This is where all my stuff is. This is how I do work. This is how I manage my home finances. This is where all my pictures are. And that's absolutely true. If I didn't have my laptop, then I couldn't do my job, and basically a lot of the things that I'm very accustomed to doing, which I definitely don't want to do, let's say, on a tablet, even though they're getting better, is that laptop computer definitely a ministry gadget?
Oh, yeah. In particular, it's probably worth mentioning Naomi Hinkle, mm-hmm. Who's a church secretary, who said, my laptop interfaces with our church copier, so I send things directly to the copier for printing. I can download images from my digital camera. I can take my laptop home and work on my church bulletin at home if I need mm-hmm. to. You know, it's got it all. They're doing a lot of Web 2.0 stuff in her church, so using Dropbox to share files, all those kind of things she's able to do with that laptop computer. And certainly it's a lot more versatile than a tablet computer. So you're going to have a lot more functionality with a laptop.
Yeah, if you're doing anything long form, writing an article, managing your website, all those types of things really require keys, a keyboard, a decent sized screen, and just something that has some internal storage for pictures and those kinds of things. So. Mm-hmm. Sally, what's number one?
We made it to number one, and if you haven't figured out yet, the only thing left, the obvious choice, because by a landslide we heard from more listeners on this one than anything, it's smartphones, particularly the iPhone was mentioned specifically, but mm-hmm. Certainly you could do it with some smart PDAs like the iPod Touch as well. But basically... we heard people say they use it from sunup to sundown. It's their alarm clock in the morning. It's their podcast player. It's their Bible app viewer, and on and on and on. I know for us here in Sleepy Eye, it's our calendar, and we have it synced mm-hmm. with Google Calendars to our church and school calendar, so we always have that with us. I can't tell you how many times I've been in ladies' aid meetings and just pulled out the church calendar to reference something. So from the pastor's perspective, I think having a calendar in your pocket is huge. So lots of functions there.
You can do presentations from it, take notes on it, record messages, and on top of all that, you can make phone calls.
Imagine that. Yeah.
So that is our seven best from top to bottom and left to right. We have all kinds of gadgets. And if you have a gadget that we didn't talk about, or if you'd like to add to the conversation, the best way to do that is to go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. And if you look in the upper right of that page, there's all kinds of little icons up there, different ways that you can get in touch with us, our email address, our Pinterest page, our Facebook, our Twitter, Google+. There is probably not a social network that anybody really uses that we aren't on someplace that you can get in touch with us. And Sally diligently checks all those each day, and at least once a week, and those funnel into our community feedback section, of which we have a lot this week, and we'll be going through that in just a minute. So your feedback is important to us, including your voice. If you want to send us a voicemail, we're always willing to play those on air. So you too could be a star. Sally, what are we doing next month for our seven best?
Next month we are counting down the seven best password management tools and tips. And hopefully everyone has some kind of password management in place. But if you don't, you definitely want to tune into this show. And even if you do, I think there are ways that you can probably make your password management more efficient. I can't imagine how many passwords I have set up in this Web 2.0 age. That's the name of the game, mm-hmm. is creating an account on a website. Yep. And so hundreds, literally. And if I didn't have some fail-safe catches in place, I'd be in big trouble. So.
Yeah, huge, huge thing. So I'm sure everybody's got their own little tips, tricks, tools that they use to manage all those passwords. I just went through a password change here at the Synod Administration Building. We require a password change every 90 days. And I have a lot of passwords, a variation of the one that I change regularly. So it's about a half-hour process to get everything up to date, even though I use a very slick password management tool, which I'm going to share next month. So
yeah, the trick is teaching your fingers to remember the new keystrokes, because mine just get in a pattern, and it's hard to break.
You pound that in, and you wonder why it's not working, and then you do it again.
And then you get locked out. Imagine
that. That's right. We are creatures of habit. So Sally, we should probably move on to our picks of the week.
Let's do that. And my pick of the week is actually a keynote address from a recent conference that was held. It's called Podstock 2012. It was in Wichita, Kansas, and it's an education technology conference looking at technology integration in the classroom. And one of my favorite bloggers, ed tech bloggers named Brad Flickinger from schooltechnology.org, happened to be the keynote speaker. And I was really excited to listen to Brad's presentation. It's about an hour long. We call it free professional development for you guys that didn't get to make it to a conference. Maybe this is your opportunity to sit in and have an ear on what was going on at a summer conference. But Brad's focus in this presentation was about developing passion. And by that, he means how to get your students really engaged. And even with technology, it can be doldrums if the kids aren't excited about it and aren't engaged by it. And so he looked at actually at student athletes and those that are really passionate about their athletics and kind of studied the process of developing that passion from curiosity to interest to investment and finally to success. Just a taste of success is all it really takes for kids to be really engaged with a topic. And so I think it's a really interesting talk. It'll help you to maybe get in the seat of your student and think from their perspective how you might be able to make the material you're sharing with them more engaging to them and something that will develop a passion. So give it a listen and maybe start following Brad's blog. It's schooltechnology.org. He's a tech guy at an elementary school in Colorado, has about 450 students that he sees on a daily basis doing technology with them. So he's got a lot of cool projects going on, and he's just an interesting read.
Great addition to your PLN, your personal learning network.
There you go.
Which is a great segue, Sally, for my pick of the week, which is a nice addition to your PLN as well, at least to mine. And I'd call it, it's a tool, a Web 2.0 tool. It's free. It's called Prismatic. Getprismatic.com is the URL that you can go and sign up for it. But I call it a cross between Google Reader, which has been a real staple of my RSS reading system and getting news delivered right to me and information delivered to me, and a cross between that and StumbleUpon, which allows me to discover new content and new websites based on my interests. And that's what Prismatic does. It takes your interest, it asks what you're interested in, you pick a number of topics, and then it forms kind of a news reader like Google Reader. And it does it kind of newspaper style. It's in a couple columns. It's a nicely designed site, so you build your interests and then it builds your feed each day. And it learns over time what you're interested in and what you're not interested in. So if there's an article that, even though they thought it might have be of some interest to you based on your initial survey, you can say, nah, don't show me this kind of stuff. I don't need to, even though I said I like this topic, I don't like this aspect of the topic. And then over time it learns and it doesn't show you that stuff. So I find it to be very accurate, especially if you consistently say what you like and don't like, which is what StumbleUpon does. It learns. And then it shows you stories or news articles or tutorials. I get a lot of web design stuff because or mobile web design stuff because that's one of my interests right now as I'm rebuilding the Wells mobile app. So this is great stuff. And then it makes suggestions for you based on what you like and don't like and things that you search for. So, for instance, I'm a big San Francisco 49ers fan, so it's somehow picked up on the fact that I like that kind of news, so it makes that as a suggestion. You know, you want to follow or add them to your list, or tennis, or Google, or baseball, whatever it is. So it's a very pleasing design, and I think that they've done a nice job. It's really easy to use. It's something that is really easy to set up. It's pretty. It's smart. Kind of everything you want in a girlfriend. it's nicely done and free, totally free. That's getprismatic.com. wellstech.com.
Well, there's a quote for you. Everything you want in a girlfriend.
That's right.
Here on WellsTech. Imagine
yes.
that. Yeah, I'm thinking it's kind of like Pandora as well with that whole learning along the way.
And yeah, absolutely.
It's really a cool mix. I like it. I had to sign up for an account myself and give it a try. So pretty cool stuff.
Very good. All right, Sally, should we move along through the show here? So far, so good on the recording, I'm hoping. The listeners will let us know as we, if they're listening to 243C at this point rather than 24A.
247, yeah.
That's right, 247. Let's move on to community feedback. Speaking
you
of
bet.
Listeners.
We heard from listener Pastor Rob Gunther at Grace in Kenai, Alaska, and he sent us a couple of interesting links. First up was a YouTube video, which was certainly good for a laugh, done by a comedian slash technologist, and it's called Life After Death by PowerPoint 2010, and basically pointing out everything possible that you could do wrong using PowerPoint to the extreme, and, you know, good food for thought and things to avoid for sure. So done tongue-in-cheek, but also, you know, worthy of a few minutes of your time. I think it's less than 10 minutes long, but give you some good ideas of what to avoid. And probably all of us could say that we were guilty at one point or another of making some of these mistakes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, if you've ever done a PowerPoint, you got to watch this video. I just finished up a class, an online class from Martin Luther College on creating dynamic classroom presentations, and I shared that with the students there. They really enjoyed it. So worth a watch.
And then next, Pastor Gunther recommended the Quick and Dirty Tips website. And Quick and Dirty Tips, I'm guessing, maybe started with the Grammar Girl. She gives a daily podcast with a Quick and Dirty grammar tip, really short and easy to digest. But they have expanded, and they have a Get It Done guy, they have Get Fit guy, they have a Tech Talker, all of these little 6 to 8 minute long mini podcasts. And Pastor Gunther says he enjoys them and learns a lot in the process. It's kind of light and fun and something to meet all your needs. So if you want to check out quickanddirtytips.com, you can perhaps find a new podcast to listen to.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that in my RSS feed and get that delivered to me as well. I think that's those little quick snippets are just the right size to pique the interest and maybe learn something each day.
Following up on our podcast last week where we talked about Batch Geo in our summer software showcase, Batch Geo is a map generation software where you can feed it your own custom points and it'll generate a map. And as an example, I generated a map of all of our wells and ELS sites. We heard from someone at a kind of a competitive website, zmaps.com.
Right,
exactly. Her name was Claire McLister, and Claire recommended that we give Zmaps a look as well. And so I did. I went out and generated a new map using our Wells and ELS congregation who are using Final Web, all the different locations of those Final Web sites, and generated a map. Very comparable capabilities. The Batch Geo map tends to group things, so when you're looking at a big view, it'll actually give you counts of the number of things as opposed to the individual points that you see here in the big view of the Z map. But comparable product, and maybe it fits your needs better. So if you want to check out Z maps, give it a try.
Yeah, Geo, as we mentioned in last week's show, geolocation is huge, and it is really cool what you can do with some of these applications that ride right on top of Google Maps and ultimately Google Earth as well. So geography teacher's dream.
For sure.
Yep.
All right, next up, a quick mention of Easy Capture, a free download from the Softonic website. This was sent in to us by listener Jeff Nelson, and it's basically a free comparative product to Snagit for doing screen captures and annotations. So if you're looking for a tool for screen capture, you might want to check out Easy Capture.
Looks like Windows only, I want to say.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay.
Good. All right. Listener Corey Putz sent us his review of the website Hootsuite. Martin, you're a Hootsuite user. Corey uses it to bring together all his different social media channels in one place. So your Facebook, your Twitter, your Google Plus, and whatever other channels you're communicating through. And he can schedule tweets that are messages that would go out to all those different channels at whatever time he wants to release them. So powerful tool if you're trying to manage a lot of different communication.
Yeah, Hootsuite is really helpful if you have a bunch of social networks that you're trying to communicate with at the same time as opposed to going to each one at a time at a time. And then it time shifts now, so that's a great tool. And then you get some analytics in, that come into play here, too. You can kind of see how you're doing, what kind of links were clicked, those kinds of things. So Hootsuite's been around quite a while, but they've amped it up a little bit. There is a free version, which is probably sufficient for most people, but if you're heavily into social networks and your church or school or organization is that's really important to your strategy, then it's probably worth upgrading. I think it's like $5 a month, something like that, to get some of those premium features that could help you out.
Very good.
$10 a month.
$10 a month.
Yep, $9.99. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. We started with the YouTube video, and we'll finish our community feedback with a different YouTube video. This one is called PC's Take, and it comes to us from our friend Steve Zambo, who's at Salty Earth Pictures. And Steve left us a comment on the Wells Tech Facebook page, letting us know that there's a new movie review out for The Dark Knight Rises. Just to give you some perspective, these are movie reviews that look at movies in both a theatrical and a Christian perspective, and they're hosted by Pastor Clark Schultz, who's a pastor in the Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin area. So they look at different movies and review them, as I said, and you know, you get that Christian perspective on the movies. So you may want to follow their channel on YouTube. They come out with these periodically based on whatever popular movies are out.
Yeah, kind of a Wells version of Siskel and Ebert, right?
There you go.
The Christian perspective. There are sites that do this, so it's a really cool service that they provide. And kudos to Steve for coming up with the idea and making this happen. So take a look at that. Good stuff. Is that it for community feedback, Sally?
That'll do it for this week, Martin, for the
Very
second time.
Good. Remember to send us yours. And next week we have a show that you may want to tune into because we're talking all about, this is a continuation of our Summer Software Showcase series. We're going to be talking about mind mapping. And that's not sci-fi stuff. That is an approach to either note-taking or brainstorming, depending on how you want to use it. It's the ability to capture thoughts in an organized fashion. And we're going to be focusing on an open-source product called FreeMind. There's all kinds of tools that we use. We use Mind Manager, but we thought we'd spend a little time talking about one of the freebies that you can get and totally serviceable for your needs, I'm sure. FreeMind is on deck for next week in our mind mapping focus. So
looking forward to it. No mind melding, though.
No mind melding. No just mind mapping. Yes.
All right.
Let's close the show, Sally, with the music of one of my favorite Wells artists, Joey Schumann, and all of his many instruments that he plays. We're going to listen to the song In You Is Gladness. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Lord, you are my island. In your bosom I nest. You are the calm of the sea. In that peace I rest. You are the waves on the shore's glistening stones. Their sound is my hymn. You are the song of the birds. Their tune I sing. You are the sea breaking on rock. I praise you with the swell. You are the ocean that laps my being. In you I dwell. Scotland.